Hey guys, welcome today to our service. We're getting into the Word this morning. We already had some time for prayers and time of worship, and we're talking today about four types of faith. And I asked the congregation three questions, and I asked them to write them down, and maybe you can write them down as well, or you can answer them, what are you asking God for this year? What are you believing that God's going to do for you this year? And the second question was, do I believe that God will do what I'm asking Him for, yes or no? And then the third question was, what am I going to do to show God that I believe He will answer my prayers for this year? And so we're into this series already talking about that, and I'm asking them a question this morning, and I'm asking you a question this morning. Can faith exist by itself, unconnected with the rest of your life? If you say you have faith, does it stand alone without connecting to the rest of your life? I'm going to take you to James chapter 2 today, because I want to talk about four types of faith, and Lori had put those up there earlier, but today I want to talk to you about dead faith. What does the Bible say? Faith without works is dead. Okay? James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. I'm going to skim down and listen to what James is saying today. New Living Translation says this: what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing, what good does that do? Verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Let me read that again. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Verse 18, now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds, or works. Depends on what translation you're reading out of. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good deeds or without works is useless, or it is dead? Verse 21. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Verse 25, Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without bread, so also faith is dead without good works. Wow. That's some interesting scripture, isn't it? I love these scriptures, and they're really powerful today. And I'm not here to challenge so much your faith, but yet I do want you to think about your faith. What is it about my faith that stands out or makes me different? What is it that God is doing with my faith? So let me look a little bit today about dead faith. And I want to give you some things that dead faith is. But first of all, let's look at that word dead. Dead, the Greek word is nekros. Nekros. And properly it means one that has breathed his last, lifeless, deceased, departed, one whose soul is in heaven or hell, destitute of life. Without life, inanimate. Metaphorically speaking, though, dead means spiritually dead. We can think of it as physical death, but we can also think of it as spiritual death. One who is destitute of a life that recognizes and is devoted to God because they have been given up to trespasses and sins. If they are spiritually dead, then they are inactive as respects to doing right. They are destitute of force or power or inoperative. Now, you see, a dead faith, friends, is an inoperative faith. It is an inactive faith. It is a faith that has no force or power. You see, faith without works is dead. And first of all, I want to say this to you about faith. Number one, faith without works, first of all, or a dead faith, is first of all a false faith. Verse 14, we read that a while ago. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions or works? Can that kind of faith save anyone? I'm not here to challenge your faith on eternal life. That's not what I'm here to do today. If you believe, the Bible says, but you did have to do what? If you believe, you had to confess with your mouth, right? You had to believe it in your heart, but you had to confess it with your mouth. That's a work, right? So even faith at the inception of your salvation was what? Was visible by your works. But what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Well, I know what you're thinking, because Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, maybe if we'll look at the scripture here, for by grace are you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is what? The gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, that almost sounds like a contradiction to what James is saying, right? What Paul said in Ephesians. But James isn't contradicting the Apostle Paul, who insisted that we are saved not of works. James merely clarifies for us the kind of faith that saves. Matter of fact, there's an old saying that says this: faith alone saves. I think it's there. Faith alone saves. Now, did I not put it up there? That's my fault. But faith that saves is not alone. Let me say that again. Faith alone saves. But the faith that saves is not alone. It has good works with it. You see, Paul understood this as well. Matter of fact, if you read Ephesians chapter 2, not just verses 8 and 9, but if you read verse 10, what did he go on to say? He says, for we are his, talking about God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? We should walk in them. Can I tell you this? A living faith is simply a real faith. If you say you have faith, then let me see your faith. Right? Show me your works. You can show me works, but that doesn't mean you believe. But friends, I'll be honest with you. If you have faith, then there's going to be works that follow. Because if there's not works that follows your faith, then maybe that's not a real faith. Maybe you're just fooling yourself. Friends, I believe that faith of that sort is dead faith. God didn't call us to be dead, right? Amen. God didn't come to be the God of the dead. He came to be the God of the living, right? Amen. Whoever believes in him shall have eternal life, living life, friends. I believe that we should walk in a living faith that is a real faith. How does the world know that we are a bunch of faith believers? How does the world know, when you leave this building today, how will they know that you have faith in God? Were they there when you gave your heart to Jesus? Did they see your confession of faith? No, but they will see it by your works. Because faith without works is dead. Come on, pinch your neighbor and say, I think you're living here this morning. I think you're alive here today. Come on. All right, somebody scream at me or something. So a dead faith is really, to me, it's a fake faith. It's a false faith. You know, there's a lot of people that confess with their mouth, Lord, Lord, but they don't really believe in their heart. Come on, how many know that the enemy comes as an angel of light? And then he comes to seek, kill, and destroy, to steal. Amen. He even believes in God. But he doesn't have a relationship with God, because everything he does is counterproductive, or counter what? Counteracts everything that God does. You see, he wants you to believe that you can live a life of blessing and favor without living a life of works with God. He wants you to feel secure. But I'm here to tell you today, friends, that if your faith is alive, then it's a real living faith. And it's not a false faith. But faith without works is dead, and a dead faith is a false faith. Here's the second thing I want to share with you this morning. Not only is dead faith a false faith, but dead faith is also an empty faith. Or maybe we can even say it like this, an empty profession of faith. Remember verses 15, 16, and 17. James says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You see, if we really believe something, we will follow through and act upon it. If we really put our trust and faith in Jesus, we will care for the naked and care for the destitute as he has told us to do. Now, I know there's a fine line there because there are people that will take advantage of you. And I know there's only so much you can do. You know, every time I look at Facebook, there are posts on there about well, if you'll contribute some money to help us get this medical equipment or to help this person with their need. And I understand my heart. I'm going to tell you what, I can't hardly pass up a post like that without reading it and praying over it. I do. But I feel kind of restricted sometimes about how much I can contribute to it. And I'll put my little heart care or my little face care emoji on there and say, I care about this need, and I'll pray over that need. But for monetarily investing in that need, sometimes it's hard to do. I'll be honest with you, because there's just so many needs out there, friends, and we can't take care of them all. I wish we could. You know, there are so many missionaries. I wish we could support them all. And we talk to them, and there's some that are just trying to get out on the field, but it's so hard because there are so many people that have need, and the world is in need, friends, of what these missionaries are bringing to them. Somebody said that many profess to be Christians, but their lives and their priorities indicate otherwise. Matter of fact, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7. Look what he said. Beware of what kind of prophets? False prophets. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good work, let me back up. Even so, every good work, every good tree bears good fruit, but a corrupt tree bears evil fruit. A good tree cannot bear evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? Cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit, you will know them. And look what he said. And I kind of made mention of this even just a while ago in verse 21. He says this to those about, I never knew you. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. There's that profession of their mouth. But what does he say? He says, not everyone who professes me as Lord. Just because you profess him as Lord doesn't mean you know him as Lord. There's a difference. I can call your name, but that doesn't mean I know anything about you. I can support this or support that, but it doesn't mean I have any recollection of really what is in depth in that situation or who that is. But he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what? The will of my Father who is in heaven. Here's that faith and works. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? But then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice evil. Now, I've got to lead that line up to the Lord because only he really knows the genuine heart of anybody. But could it be that there are some people that really have never really professed Christ in their heart, even though they have professed it with their mouth? That's an empty profession. You know, just because somebody said a sinner's prayer doesn't mean they went through a change in who they were. Now, I'll be honest with you, this change in discipleship takes time. It doesn't just happen overnight. But there is a change in your heart that happens when you ask Jesus in your heart and when you confess him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. You might not be perfect when you got up on that altar, but you're changed. You know it. You feel it. You've made a profession. But there are some people that just say the prayer just to say the prayer, profess it with their mouth, but nothing has changed on the inside of them. Notice that the message of Jesus is the same message of James. Obedience to God is the mark of true saving faith. How do I know you're saved? Obey God in your works. Simply saying we believe in Jesus does not save us, nor does religious service. Just because you came to church today doesn't mean you're saved. He said, look what he says. Have we not prophesied in your name? I mean, these are some pretty in-depth ministries. Cast out demons? How do you cast out a demon unless you're opposite of a demon? You know, they call Jesus Prince of Beelzebub. He says, well, how can I be Prince of Beelzebub if I'm rebuking these things and casting them out? I'm paraphrasing that. And done many other wonderful works in your name. But he says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. I can't, I'll be honest with you, there's some things that's hard to understand in breath sometimes. You know, can I tell you what? That the enemy can do signs, wonders, and miracles too? He can. So that's why, you know, can I be honest with you? Satan's not just something you mess with. You better know. You better know that if you're praying and casting out a devil, if you're coming against Satan, that you're full of the Holy Spirit and power, that God is in you, and that you're walking by faith, and you're living according to his word and his will. Because he is definitely somebody that's not to be messed with unless it's in Jesus Christ. Faith without works is dead, because empty professions of faith have no power to change lives. Faith without works is dead because empty professions of faith have no power to change lives. Oh, don't raise your hands, but how many of you knew it when you gave your heart to the Lord? There was some power inside of you that changed you. It wanted you to become more like Jesus. You began to think differently. You began to act differently, walk differently, talk differently. That's because faith has power to change you, unless it's an empty profession of faith. You see, a dead faith is that which dwells only on the tongue and not in the heart, which produces no good works but is alone and without holy fruits. It's an empty faith. You know, we use that word, that four-letter word, love, pretty heavy, don't we? And you know, we're really good about telling people, oh, I love you. But really, it's just what? It's a tongue profession. There's nothing in our heart that says and shows I really love him. Do you love Jesus? I know you do. Then your heart will be changed toward him. And your actions will what? Will follow your profession of faith. So faith without works is a dead faith. A dead faith is what? It's a false faith. It's an empty faith. And here's number three. This is an interesting word. It's a useless faith. It's a useless faith. Look at verse 17 again. 17 and 18. I'm just reading what's in the word today. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. And this is the New Living Translation. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God, good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can you see that faith without good deeds is useless? That's another word for dead. Useless? Interesting. Jeremy Myers, in an article titled, What is Dead Faith? He said when James writes about dead faith in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, he said many people think he is referring to faith that does not exist. But this is not a message of James. What is dead faith? It is useless faith. It is faith that does exist, but it is not accomplishing what God wants or desires for it. Despite what many teach, he said, dead faith is not non-existent faith any more than a dead body is a non-existent body. You know, just because the body is dead, the body is still the body. Although the life of the body has left the body, right? You can still have a dead faith and have faith, but it is useless because there's no life in your faith. There is no works to your faith. There is no action to your faith. King Daniel said that when a plant is dead, there are what? There are no flowers. There is no fruit of any kind. You know, Jesus cursed the fig tree because what? It had no fruit. But when the plant is alive and healthy, what does it do? It produces something. Maybe that's what James is trying to say and relate to the leaders, that faith is like a plant. Listen to this. Faith that is truly alive produces something. And the evidence is there. If you've been to our house is full of plants. Have you noticed that? My wife loves plants. And she has pretty good green thumb. Man, if they were dependent on me, we'd be in a lot of trouble. We got a lot of oxygen flowing in our house. And I was asking my wife one day, we were talking about that. I said, man, that big plant in the middle, it's so pretty and beautiful. And she said, yeah, that's Big Boy. Big Boy, you got a name in your plants? And she said, yeah, that one over there is what? She's got, give me some names. You told me some names. I can't remember them all.
Paula.
That's Paula.
Paula the Palm.
Paula the Palm. What's some others?
Fred.
We got one named Fred. I must have named that for her grandfather.
It was a fig. Huh? He's a fig. A it's fiddle a fig.
Okay, is there any more? I know there are one or more, but I don't.
Hold on. Ivy.
Ivy. There's one named Ivy. Yeah. So, you know what she does? I don't know why it's not weird. She talks to plants. She does. She talks to plants. And you know what? Those plants are beautiful and green. They're healthy. I mean, I'm serious. They're growing and they're productive. I mean, they're producing the big, beautiful green leaves that they were intended to create. Yeah, you know what I've been doing lately with all my plants? Hey, you're a good looking boy. Man, that's a beautiful girl. I don't want those plants to die. My fault. But you know, our faith has actions. There's something useful to us, friends. Just like a plant is useful to provide oxygen and all the beautiful things that God has produced for us. Come on, friends, let's not live in dead faith. Let's live in a faith that is powerful and effective. Amen. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Why? Because their faith is effective. Why is their faith effective? Because their faith is active. Their faith is useful. Amen. God gives people that have useful faith more things to do with their faith because He knows that He can trust them with their faith. Faith that is truly alive produces something. You see, your faith was never given to you to be useless. God wants your faith to be useful. Friends, there's a world out there that needs Jesus. There's a world out there that needs healing. There's a world out there that needs encouragement and hope. There's a world out there that just needs a pat on the back every now and then. And they need somebody with the faith enough to utilize what God's given them to encourage them, to bless them, to pray over them, to lift them up. I drove up to the house the other day, and my neighbor Charles next door, and I really tried to connect with Charles. And I remember back, I don't know if it's been a year ago, one morning early I woke up, I could just see the lights flashing through the windows, the ambulance lights, the fire truck lights, and it was early, it was busy, like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just remember getting up, looking out the window, and it was over next door in front of their house. Charles is a young guy. He's pretty muscular, but he's a young guy. And I just remember at that moment just praying over him. And I just felt the heaviness in my heart. Matter of fact, my heart started just, it almost like started, I started feeling like that I was having an anxiety attack. Anybody ever had one of those? And I did. And I never rebuked that thing. I was thinking, man, I'm going to go out there and see if this ambulance happens as well. That's what I was feeling. And I remember the next day, I got up and he'd come out and I said, man, how you doing? What was going on? He says, man, I was having an anxiety attack. He said that it was just impacting me. He's had some issues with finding jobs and keeping jobs and just different things with their family. And I said, man, I said, that same time this morning, I was up praying for you. And I felt the same thing in my heart. I felt anxiety. And I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. Now, I don't know if they go to church or not, but I'm easing my way into their life. And yesterday when I pulled up, he said, man, would you just say a little prayer for me? I've got 2 job interviews. I've been without work for a little bit. I've got 2 job interviews, and one of them will be really beneficial for me because it'll help me keep my MBA and just some other things. And I said, yeah, man, I'll pray for you. Lori and I at Christmas time, we take them a Christmas sack. Lori's been really good at putting this together, and this was her heart, but we take them a Christmas sack with hot chocolate for their kid. And just trying to make some leeway into their lives. You see, that's faith being useful. You can say that you believe, but show me your belief on what you do. God needs you to be useful to your neighbors, and not just your neighbors, but just the people in general. Because people need the Lord. And they need what you have. But if your faith is hidden, friends, then can I just say that you might as well not have faith because it's useless. Let me give you one more. Dead faith. Dead faith is not just a false faith. It's not just an empty faith or a useless faith. But dead faith is an actionless faith. And I've already been saying this along the line, but I could even say it this way. Dead faith is an inactive faith. Beginning verse 21, don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, a lot of people say, well, he believed God by getting ready to offer his son on the altar. But you know what? I believe Abraham already believed God before he ever put his son up on the altar. how did we know Abraham believed? Well, I believe Abraham believed because he understood that if God took his son's life that day, that God was also able to restore his life that day. Now that would have been totally contradictory to who God is, not taking life. That's why he didn't let him know, but it was his faith, it was his action to say, Lord, I'm willing to put my son on this altar. You see, his faith and his actions worked together. Verse 22. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God. And God counted him as righteous. Righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not just by faith alone. You remember the story of Rahab? When the spies got ready to, when the children got ready to go to the promised land with Joshua, and they sent the two spies instead of the 12 this time. And as they were getting ready to attack from Jericho, and Rahab the prostitute hid them, you remember? Because she feared God, even though, I don't think she was a follower of God, of the God of Israel, but she understood that God was a powerful God, their God. She was shown to be right with God by what her actions, when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. If you look at the lineage of Jesus Christ, guess who was in his lineage? Rahab was. I believe at some point she had to follow the God of Israel, but her actions spoke what? Spoke that I'm gonna believe that your God is more than able. Do you believe that God is more than able? Amen. To do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or imagine? Do you believe that what you wrote on that piece of paper this morning, that index card today, that number one, what you're asking God for this year, do you believe that God is able to do what you're asking Him for? If not, then why are you asking Him? Why are you asking Him if you don't believe that God can do it? You see, a living faith cannot be separated from works. A living faith cannot be separated from works. Here's why. Because works are the natural outflow of faith. Works are not the cause of salvation. They are the evidence of salvation. Works don't save you, but works do what? They flow out of your salvation. They're the evidence that you are saved. Faith in Christ always results in good works. If we really believe in something, we will follow through and act upon it. Do you really believe that Jesus is more than able? Do you really believe that God can bring us back into that church building over there? Do you really believe that He's got this in His timing and in His control? Do you really believe that? Then our actions are to speak for that. You see, what I've been doing here lately, and that would probably be my number one, is I've been asking God to expedite this process and get us over there. I know it's been a year. I've been asking God, Lord, I'm ready to get back. We need to get back. What are you saying? Why is it taking so long? Lord, change the hearts of people, Lord. Change the hearts of leaders in our city or whoever has the power to keep us out and put us in. You see, I pray those prayers because I believe that God can. I do. And here's what I've been doing to show that I believe that God can do it. And I told you this last week. I've been circling our neighborhoods. Every day when I'm coming to work, I'm a few minutes late, Charlotte, because when I start coming down that feeder road, I start making that big square. Down East Meadows and back behind Ashton Drive, and then I go up the feeder road down Interstate 30, and I go down to Motley, and I cover around, and I'm praying over homes, and I'm praying over apartments, and I'm praying over businesses, and I'm praying over that community, and I'm just praying, Lord, put a nail around this place. Amen. Draw these people to you. I don't know what they need. But Lord, I pray that you'd heal broken homes and marriages and lives and bring children to parents and parents to children and open the eyes of the blind and just whatever needs to be done. Save people. Bring them into the house of God. And if you will, bring them into our house. You see, what is that? That's my action. That's my action to what I believe. I believe that God will do that. So I'm putting feet to my belief. Well, probably put gas to my gas tank, but I'm believing and I'm acting upon it. You see, friends, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. As much as you can have a body with no life, you can have a faith with no life too. And faith without works is a dead faith, unable to save. That's a deep scripture, friends. It really is. Martin Luther said this. He said that the true living faith, which the Holy Spirit instills into the heart, simply cannot be idle. You know, if you sit in your car, your truck, and just idle, you're in, guess what? You're going to burn your gas. And basically, you're going to run out of gas. See, friends, God just didn't call us to sit still. God called us to move. God called us to put faith, action with our faith. Let me just in closing give you this. Three things. What do I do when my faith is dead? If you're here today and maybe you're saying, Pastor, my faith, I still feel like my faith is very active. I feel like I'm just living in an actionless, empty, false, useless faith. I don't feel like God hears my prayers. I don't feel like God speaks to me. I don't feel like anything works in my favor. Well, three things here this morning, real quick, that you can do when your faith is dead. First of all, revive your faith. How do you revive your faith? By changing your heart. You see, friends, Jesus wants to change your heart. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to change the way you think. Your heart is not just a physical thing that beats inside your chest. It is the center of your emotions and your will, your actions, your intellect. Change the way you do things. Change the way you feel about things. Change the way you feel about God, about His Word, about what God can do, about what faith can do. Change your heart. Revive it. Maybe you need to speak to your heart. Heart, wake up! Wake up! Come on, get to work, heart. Come on, faith. What would happen if your heart quit beating? When you die, yo. But what do you do? What if they revive your heart? They shock your heart or give you CPR, whatever it takes to get your heart beating again. Because without the beating of your heart is useless. Your body is useless unless your heart beats and pumps blood through your body. You see, friends, your faith is useless unless it's beating, unless it's pumping blood, unless it's filled with works and action. Here's the second thing you do if your faith is dead. Not only revive it, but reattach it. Reattach it. John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You see, friends, if your faith is dead, not only revive your faith, but reattach your faith to the what? The vine. Reattach your faith to who God is. Seek God. Say, Lord, what is your heartbeat? What are you saying? What is on your mind? What do you want me to do? How do I reconnect with you? Because if you're separated from the vine, friends, there's no life in you. You have to stay connected to the vine. If your faith is dead, reattach it, revive it. And number three, renew it. Renew it. How do you renew your faith? By changing your thinking. I know that follows a little bit with your heart and your emotions, but change your thinking. Renew your faith. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, I'll be honest with you, some of us have to change our thinking, right? Like they always say. Amen. Some of us need to change what we think about God, what we think about faith, what we think about God's Word, what we think about what God can do in my life. Friends, if you don't believe what you wrote on that paper, you don't have faith in that, then don't write it down again. Amen. Until you finally have a relationship with God, that you have been renewed in your thinking, you have been attached back to the vine, you have been revived and changed in your heart. Come on, friends, our faith needs to be working.
Amen.
Our faith needs to be active.
Useful.
Real. The world is full of unreal stuff. So many, that's why our world is in the shambles it is, because there is so much false and fake and deception in our world. We need something real. And I don't just have to tell people about it. Your life should just be what? A living faith. Walking out. Come on, bow your heads with me this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you.
be a useful and active, Lord. May it not be empty and false, but Lord, may it be real and alive, Lord. And Lord, may what we confess with our mouth be evident in the way we live our lives, Lord. Lord, help us to walk our faith out, Lord. Let our faith not be dead, but let our faith be a living and an active and alive faith today. Speak to us, Lord, today. Speak to us. Come on, maybe you're here today and maybe you're struggling with your